God is doing things. You know, God would do a lot more if we'd untie his hands. I said, God do a lot more if we'd untie his hands. Tell me one thing that can tie the hands of God. Oh, man, I heard somebody say something. Who was that? Said that. Oh, wow. Everybody say unbelief. You see, unbelief can tie the hands of God. We can believe that God can do this in someone else, but for some reason we're like the father who said, Lord, my son, I know you can help, but help my unbelief. How many knows that God would do a lot more in our life if we just believe him? Just take him at his word. 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 Everybody say, take him at his word. So this morning, I'm going to share a scripture with you this morning. And I know there's some people walking around here. And there's a reason they're walking around here. Because, to be honest with you, these people could do a lot more, but their hands are tied. There are people in here this morning, in this room. God could do a lot of things in your life, but your hands are tied. Did you hear what I said? Now, I'm going to get real with a capital R today. Is it okay? I'm going to do it with love, but I'm going to do it real. Is that okay? Because I didn't come here to entertain you today or tell you some kind of cute story, make you feel all good and fuzzy. And I do want you to feel good. But sometimes we got to do some work before we can feel good. Sometimes there are things that we got to do. How many read and used the word hands? They're walking around here, guys. And really what they're doing, every day I meet people who come up to me who have their hands tied. That in their look, in their despair, in their darkness, in their hollowness, what they're really reaching to me is their hands, and they're saying, please untie my hands. Somebody, please untie my hands. Please untie my hands. Please let me go. Do you think there are people hollering from the drug community today who are struggling with addiction? And we say, well, you know, those people just ought to do better. Yes, we all ought to do better. But how many knows that addiction is like tying your hands and tying your heart? And there are people reaching out in an epidemic proportion in our community in Southwest Virginia and Northeast Tennessee and Southeast Kentucky that are constantly reaching out. And there are people out of their misery, out of their hurt, out of their pain, out of their addiction, reaching out their hands and saying, would somebody please untie my hands? Somebody please untie my hands. In the Bible, hands are significant and important. In Scripture, when we refer to God's hands, it's talking about his power and his authority. God uses his power and authority and involved in the lives of men and women today. And he's done that. And that's his power when it refers to his hands. When it refers to our hands in the Scripture, it's talking about, it's a symbol of human action. Things that we need to do. Things that we maybe shouldn't have done. But tonight, when it talks about hands, that's what it's talking about. So I want you to turn with me in the Scripture. And this is not an unfamiliar Scripture. This is a very familiar Scripture. And maybe we've not looked at it quite this way, but I want you to look at it with me this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Judges. Everybody say Judges. Who comes to your mind in Judges? Well, Josh preached about one guy here a while back. Been preached on many times. Harlan's taught about him in prison. Many of us preached about him. His name is Gideon. We're going to talk about We're going to talk about a judge out of the book of Judges. And his name was Samson. Everybody say Samson. Wow. Judges chapter 15. When you get there, shout amen. And if you're not, if you don't have a Bible, then look on to somebody. Maybe the scriptures will be up here. We're going to start with verse, normally we'd start with verse 10, but we're going to start with verse 9. And Sister Betty, I have a water right under your foot right there. This old Eagles wore his shabak out. And I need a lot of fluid, okay? So I need your prayer this morning. Okay? Is that okay? Is that okay? Amen. Thank you, Roy. All right. Judges chapter 15 and verse 9. Now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. You know, the Philistines were bad dudes. They were a marauding group of army, militia, warriors that were vicious, and many of them camped near the sea, but they were bad news. They were bad business to the Israelites. And they enslaved them, they terrorized them, they tormented them in every way that you can imagine. The Philistines did that. One famous Philistine you remember was who? Goliath. How many remembers that? He's a giant. You guys got to be with me. I can't even get you to raise your hand. Is this thing working, Will? Or maybe it's just working up here for me. How many heard what I said? How many knows one famous giant? And his name was who? Well, the Philistines came against Lehi here because there was somebody they wanted, and his name was Samson. His name was Samson. And it was like a tug of war. It's like two heavyweights in the ring. Samson made the Philistines several bad days, and the Philistines tried to always get even with him. They were trying to find a way that they could trap him. They were trying to find a way that they could get a hold of him. They were trying to find a way they could destroy him because he caused them a lot of problems. Let me tell you, some of us wondering here today why the enemy comes against you so hard. Why he comes at you in the way that he does, in the manner he does. It's because you have destiny and you have purpose. It's because God has something great that he wants to do in your life. God has something great that he's been doing in your life. And because of that, the enemy hates you because of the God in you. And he would like to take the God in you out of you so he can destroy the destiny and purpose of God in your life. Amen. So they came against Samson. They came out against Samson because Samson was powerfully effective. Ministries that are powerfully effective in the community. Guess who's going to get the hits? It's going to be those that are trying in the way that we can through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Trying to do what we can to affect a generation, impact a generation. And it's those who are holding the bloodstained banner. Those who are fighting that have the onslaught of the enemy coming against them. Because of what has been done. What has effectively been done. And if anything is done in this ministry, it's not through the means of mere human flesh. If anything is accomplished, it's accomplished by the power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit working in you. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. How many knows that? Paul says in Philippians 4:13, John 15, John says, without Him, Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Paul says in Philippians 4:13, with me, you can do all things. How many knows that? Well, let me finish this. And so they came against Lehi because Samson was there. It says, why have you come against us? And verse 10, it says, and the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? Now, these were These were, in that day, church folks. These were religious people in that day. They were friends of Samson. They were from one of the tribes. They were, but yet, they were worried about the Philistines. They were concerned about the Philistines. And so they've come up to the Philistines. The people of Judah said, "Why have you come up here against us?" So they answered this, "We have come up," and the original says, "We have come up to bind Samson. We've come to tie him up." Guess what? The devil has come to tie you up. He wants to tie you up. He wants to tie you up. He wants to hold you down. He wants to cover you and tie your hands so you can't be effective. So the Bible says they've come to tie Samson, to do him as he's done to us. Two heavyweight boxers in the ring. Samson taking a few licks, and then him turning and giving a few licks back to the Philistines. They hated him, and they wanted to get rid of him. Let me tell you, the devil hates you. He hates the purpose and plan of God in your life, and he wants to tie you up so much in yourself that you can't do anything for God. So the Bible says in verse 11, "Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cliff of the rock of Edom and said to Samson," they sent 3,000 men after Samson. You think they're worried a little bit? They sent 3,000 men after one man. They sent 3,000. How many does it take to get one man? But they knew the power and the might of Samson. And the Bible says, "Do you not know the Philistines rule over us? What is this you've done to us?" And this is what the people of Judah was saying to Samson. "What have you done to us? Just leave them alone so they'll leave us alone. Just leave them alone so they'll leave us alone." And he said to them, "As they did to me, I've done it to them." And listen, Samson was all about that vengeance game. He was all about messing the Philistines up, not because always it was God's directive to mess them up. It's just he had this real cocky attitude. "I don't like the Philistines, and I'm going to do everything to mess them up." And so here they are. Verse 12, "But they said to them, 'We have come down to arrest you," or to tie you up, "that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines.' Then Samson said to them, 'Swear to me that you'll not kill me yourselves.' So they spoke to him, saying, 'No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you under their hand.'" Everybody say, "Tie me." "They will tie you. We will tie you and deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you." And they bound him, or tied him, with two new ropes. Two new ropes. And they brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Wow. Came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and with bonds broke loose from his hands. They broke loose from his hands. And verse 15, he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey. You guys are glad that I'm saying the word, right? What you think the proper word is there. That messed some of the religious folks up the last time I believe I said that word. I saw them look around like, it's in the Bible. He reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." You may be seated. Amen. Amen. "I've slain 1,000 men." Can you hear the little bit of cockiness in his attitude right there? "Look what I've done. Look what I've done. I'm big and I'm strong and I'm mighty, so look what I've done. You ever been there before? I have. All right, there's a few honest people in here. Have you done something and thought, well, no, you're not arrogant. You're not maybe cocky. You're not, you don't brag. You don't do any all this. But inside, there's an inner pride that sort of rises up in you and says, well, look what I accomplished. And listen, throughout ministry, throughout my life, you know, the enemy has always tried to come against. It's not just a Pastor R thing. That's a people trait. That's a thing. We've all got issues. We all got things that try to tie us up. But I know most of you have heard of Samson in the Bible. And most of us know Samson. I've already let the cat out of the box. No, not that cat. How many know Samson? Remember something by Samson? He's known for his what? Great strength. But you know, Samson's got a flip side too. As well as God used him mightily against the Philistines, and as a judge, he was one of the last judges in the history of Israel during a time that was very dark and very troublesome in the history of Israel. Yet, Samson was one of those men that God raised up, and he set him aside. He set him aside for a powerful purpose. You know what? He was a Nazarite. How many has ever heard the word Nazarite? Nazarite means he has been consecrated. His mother was barren, and she prayed and asked God for a son. She gave him a son. Noah gave birth to Samson. Yet, she told the Lord that I'll give him back to you. No razor will ever come to his head. No strong drink will come to his lips. No, neither will he touch any dead thing. He was a Nazarite. He was set aside. He'll not cut his hair. He was a Nazarite. He was set aside for a special purpose. Let me say something to you. While you were in your mother's womb, God set you aside for a powerful purpose. Amen. Jeremiah 1 says, even when I was in my mother's womb, I was ordained and called to reach the nations of the earth. We're not talking about just preachers there. We're not talking about just prophets there. We're talking about the people of God. God destined you to walk in greatness and do great things in your life. Do you believe that? Listen, I ministered this behind the wall the other night. And God's doing just a little bit something different, so he's tweaking it a little bit. But I ministered to people behind the wall who were incarcerated. They're tied up physically. They're behind barbed wire. They're behind enclosed walls. And listen, some of you know about that. Regan knows all about that place. He knows all about that. And we ministered there to the men who were incarcerated behind the wall, tied up, physically bound. They were tied up by the Tennessee Department of Corrections. And so they're confined to that area to serve out a time. Listen, they're in bondage, literal bondage. But let me tell you something. There were free men the other night that I was preaching to behind the wall that may have been bound physically, but their hearts are not bound because they know Jesus. They're trying to serve him. They're trying to live for him, trying to walk in his purpose and his destiny, even behind the walls. If they can do that behind the walls, you can do this outside the walls. Amen. Somebody shout amen. So, Samson was set aside for, and he was known, of course, for his what? Everybody say it. Come on. Guys, help me out. His strength, he was mighty, he was strong. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would do great and mighty feats. He would do great and mighty things. He would rip iron gates from walls. He would destroy lions. Listen, he would destroy slews of Philistines. Listen, he'd tie fire to the foxes' tails and run them through. Listen, a huge field and burn crops. He was a minister to the Philistines. God had a powerful plan and purpose for Samson to walk in. I'm looking at people here in this room today that have been called with powerful purpose and plan. And you know what? This is what I'm saying this morning. I said that just a minute ago. I said God has called you to do great things. You know what? Some of you, if you were honest right now, you could not look me in the face and say God has called you to do anything great. You know why? Because all of your life you've been told how bad you are. All your life you've been beat down. All your life you've been disqualified from those around you, from religion, from family, from, listen, your circumstances, from your failures. All your life you've been told you'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything. You'll never accomplish anything. And what this has become, it's become a tie. It's become a rope around your heart. And so therefore it's hard for you to believe that God would want to do something great and awesome in your life. Do you agree with me? God wanted to do some awesome thing in Samson's life. But Samson was full of Samson sometimes. And Samson was his worst enemy. Not only was the Philistines, but Samson himself was his worst enemy. He had two problems. Number one was women. Guess what, guys? Guys still have one problem. Guess what? Come on, help me out, guys. Be real, man. Be real here. I'm trying to be real with you all. You be real with me. Listen, Samson had problems, and it was problems with women. Can somebody amen? Well, some of you guys are afraid to amen too loud because you're afraid your wife will look at you. So you're tied up. I said you're tied up. I said you're tied up. Oh, I love you, man. I love you. So he had a problem with women. And he had a problem. He had a problem with his hair. And his hair was his strength. And they constantly tried to find a way to find out Samson's strength. That's another whole message. There's another whole thing. But Samson's life was like up and down, a roller coaster, like many of our lives are. We make great strides, and God does things in our life, and then we go through low ebbs. So Samson had highs and he had lows. Anybody in here ever had lows before in your life? Come on, be real with me. Listen, be real. How many's ever been in a low place in your life? You thought, I can't go any lower than what I am. If I was a snake rolling on the ground, I couldn't get any lower than this snake's belly. How many knows that you've been in some low places in your life? Oh, we've been in some low places, but we got friends in high places. Amen. Yes, I've been in some low places, but I got a friend in a high place who's looking down with love. Hallelujah. That says I want to live out my purpose and destiny in your life. Doesn't matter what the devil tells you. Doesn't matter what people tell you. Doesn't matter what religion tells you. God has a plan. And it's his desire to live out that purpose and plan in your life. So anything that leads you, listen to this, anything that leads you where you can't do what you've been called to do is a bondage. Two new ropes. Anything that keeps you from doing what you were really called and purposed to do. Anything that leads you where you can't do what you've been called to do is a bondage. It'll try to stop you from moving. And tonight we know, today we know all the classic bondages. We preach on chains. We sing songs about breaking chains. We're really good at that. A lot of us are preaching messages and singing songs, and we're sitting there all tied up. And we're giving a little shout out of the corner of our mouth. Whoopee, Jesus. He set me free. And all the time we got ropes tied around our hand. We're not really free. We're free. We're free in letter, but we're not free in heart. Amen. We're free in letter. We're free in letter, but we're not free in heart, because there's a lot of things got us all tied up. There's a lot of things got us all tied up. But God is looking for a people today who will come before this holy God and listen with a heart that is bent toward Him, reaching their hearts to God and say, God, untie my hands. Untie my hands. Turn to somebody and say, untie my hands. We're tied up. We're tied up. We're tied up. Some of us have been set free from the grave. We're like Lazarus in John chapter 11. Oh, Jesus came that day to free Lazarus from his grave, because he's already dead. He's dead 4 days, man. He was a stink. He was a mess. How many knows that sometimes we stink? We're such a mess. Hey, man, I know that's not one of those you'd want me to. How many knows that we can be so bound up that we can stink? And so he was in that tomb. And listen, long story short, Jesus found himself at the mouth of that tomb with two sisters that were pleading for Lazarus. Oh, and Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. You know the story. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And Jesus says to the tomb there where Lazarus was laying, he says, listen, roll back the stone. There are some of you today, you've had the stone rolled away from your heart. There are some of you today, you're born again. You profess Christ. Jesus is living in you. The hope of glory is living in you. But listen. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. He came forth with great power and glory. He came out of that grave. There was one problem with Lazarus that still needed to be settled. He was bound in grave clothes. Clothes had his arms wrapped up. Clothes had his feet wrapped up. Clothes, oh, grave clothes that they embalmed the body with spices, were wrapped around him. So he stood there, but he yet could not move. I'm saying, some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you have been on this journey a long time, but you're still bound by your past. You're still bound by your grave clothes. Loose him and let him go. Our men need to get loose. Amen. So we can be the fathers. So we can be the priests that God's called us to be. Quit playing with God. Hallelujah. I'm not mad. I'm excited. I am mad at the devil. You know what? When you get mad enough at the devil, you'll get free. You can say you want to be free all your life, but until you get mad enough at the condition, the situation you're in, you'll never change. You'll never be free. You can go to church. You can sing the song. You can go through the motion, but your heart will still be bound. Your hands will still be tied until you say, God, untie my hands. Let me go. So today, people will try to tie you up. Oh, now, hang there with me just a minute. We're not going to be real long. People will tie you up. Listen, Judah was allies with Samson. Listen, they were the people of God. Yet they thought Samson was a menace. They even hated Samson because Samson caused them so many problems. Samson caused them so many problems with the Philistines. So they were willing to sell him out. Guess what? A religious establishment knew that Jesus was causing them more problems than they cared to attend to. And they said, this troublemaker is causing us a lot of problems. Let's get rid of him. Let's get rid of Jesus. So they plotted a plan to sell Jesus out. One who is majorly disappointed named Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver because he was disillusioned why Jesus had really come. They thought he'd come riding in a great white steed and, listen, overthrowing the Roman government. But listen, God had another plan. And he become disillusioned and he fell for the plan and he sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Guess what, friend? Those people you think are your friends will sell you out in a heartbeat to get their own agenda. There are people that will cut your throat just to get their own agenda met. They sold the Son of God for 30 lousy pieces of silver just so it could have their own needs met. People will sell you out. People will betray you. People will turn against you. Man, I've had a lot of people. How many's ever had been somebody betray you before? How many's ever had somebody lie to you before? Well, some of you are doing pretty good, man. You've never had anybody betray you. Not ever had anybody lie to you. You must be doing good. Well, listen. I've had people that I thought were my friends turn on me just to meet their own agenda. Betrayal's a hard thing. People will let you down. Let's be real here today. People will let us down. I've let people down. Okay? I'll be honest with you. I've let people down. I've never intentionally tried to betray anybody, or I've never intentionally tried to lie against somebody. But yet, I've let people down. People have let us down. People will let you down. If your confidence and your trust is in man, you're going to have a hard lesson to learn along the road. You can only put your total trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Men will fail you. Kingdoms will fail you. Rulers will fail you. Presidents will fail you. But God says, I'll never leave you, or I will ever forsake you. I'll never fail you. People letting us down is a hard thing to deal with. There are people today that I've tried to get to come and minister to. They put up a block. Their hands are tied. Their hearts are tied because people have hurt them. People have hurt them, not necessarily always intentionally, but people have hurt them. So people will try to tie you up. People will try to tie you up. And they delivered Samson up. These people did, who his friends, his church brothers and sisters. Listen, a hurt in a church is a major hurt. Can I tell you? That's why the devil hurts in church. That's why people have been wounded by religion. They've been wounded by all critical people, unforgiving spirits. People have been wounded by these things, and it's tied their heart up. It's tied their hands up. It's keeping them from moving ahead in the destiny and purpose of God. But God says, today, I'm going to untie your hands. I'm going to untie your hands so you can walk in my purpose and my destiny. And I know 199% that God sent this word today. And it's up to you what you do with it. God wants to untie your hands. God wants to untie your hands. People will tie you up. Your past will tie you up. Your past will tie you up. Your past, what you've done. As I said before, some of us disqualify ourselves. God says, yes, I want to do this in you. Yes, I want to live out this purpose in your life. Yes, I've got this destiny for you to walk in. I've got this gift to use in you. I've got these things that I want to do in you. And yet, some of you, because of hurt, because of your past, because of mistakes, because of failure, the list goes on. We've all been there. There's nobody failed God more than I have. Listen, I'll stand right here. Nobody failed God more than I have. Listen, you don't have to... Oh, listen, I have failed God. I could write volumes of books on just how I failed God and messed up in my life. And there's nothing I'm walking in today would I ever have been qualified by human terms today that I'm walking in. Because men have disqualified me long ago. People will disqualify you long ago. But there are people that would walk in their destiny and their purpose, but your hands are all tied up from your past. Your hands are all tied up and you can't be free because your hands are all tied up. You're all bound because of your past. Come on, get real with me. That means five. You know we don't shake hands like that here, Bobby. I want a five. He reached me his hand like this. Is this making sense? People, your past will tie you up. So Lord, loose my hands so I can walk and fulfill your purpose. Loose my hands so I can walk and fulfill my purpose. You know what the word untie means? Listen to this word untie. We're going to be brief here, guys, okay? We got to baptize. We got little Jackson to take down the water, okay? Maybe others. Untie is to undo or loosen. To free from something that binds or restrains you. To straighten out difficulties. Wow. Imagine that. God wants to untie you. He wants to straighten things out in your life. Amen. Wow, he's the great fixer-upper. Woo! He's the great fixer-upper. He's able to loose your hands, untie you, untie your purpose in you. Untie my hands, Lord, so I can walk in the purpose and plan of God. What are hands created to do? Hands are created to do what? To do what with them? Come on, guys. Work. Thank you, Grant. To work. Everybody say work. Do you know God has a work he's called you to do? Nobody else can do the work that Will has been called to do. I promise you. I can't fill in for Will. I can't fill in for Grant or Josh or Sister Betty. I can't do it because you've been called to do work that I can't do for you. So today, God wants to untie your hands so you can do the work that God has called you to do. Oh, don't mention that word work, Pastor R, because that's a bad word in my vocabulary. I don't really care a lot about these 8, 9, 10-hour day shifts. I don't even like the kind of work that I'm doing. But the kind of work that you've been called to do in the kingdom of God is to change the world around you. To make a difference in the life of people. One soul, one life at a time. God has called you to kingdom purpose. To fulfill heaven's agenda, heaven's purpose. And you can't work in the vineyard. You can't gather souls. You can't harvest. You can't sow. You can't influence. You can't be effective if your hands are all tied up. But God wants to loose you today. He wants to untie your hands so you can go and walk in the purpose and do the work that God has called you to do. So loose my hands, Lord. What else are our hands are used for? We don't realize this today, but all of us have got a problem right here. Not all of us, some of us do. And there have been times in my life that I've really had issues with this. I remember the first open praise service. Listen, I was always one of those rebels in the denomination that I was in. I was always sought after by other people because I was like the troublemaker. And so the troublemaker gets the attention. And so, but I remember when God came to the end of myself in 1991, where religion nearly wrecked my life and wrecked my family and really drove my family away from me permanently. God's grace and His mercy and His redemption restored that. And I'm blessed that I can walk and worship with my family and serve God with my family. That's a powerful blessing, friend. That's a powerful blessing to worship God with your family. Amen. Josh, that's a blessing, man. That's a blessing. Whoa, that's a blessing, my brother. Listen, the Brady Bunch right here today. The Whited, the whole family, this whole family, a lot of kids. You're here with your family today. Guess what? You're blessed, friend. You're blessed. You're blessed beyond measure. There are some families today trying to rescue their children, trying to get them out of the gutters, visit them in this place and that place, trying to address situations in their life. And if you're here with your children, amen, you're blessed. So today, you're being great, Jackson. Isn't he been super today? What grade are you, Jackson? What grade are you in? First? Wow, as a first grader said, I've never seen a first grader sit that long in all my life. Bring this down to an end. Now, some of us have problems, and I remember the first free worship service I was in. I went into the service, and the whole time I was standing around there looking at people. People raising their hands. People, you know, dancing a little bit. It wasn't that I wasn't about that before. I'd never been around services like that, but there was something free and liberating about that. You know what? There is something free and liberating if you'll do what God purposed in your life to do. And that's simply just praise Him. You know, God ordained you to give praise to Him. Not to give praise to some idol. Not to give praise to some rock star. Some sports star. Not give praise to some idol like that. God has called you. He has purposed praise in your heart. That's why when you come around a place where there's open praise, something starts beating and thumping in your heart. I promise you, it's not the big bass up here. It's the power of the Lord challenging your heart. This is what I want you to be about. Can somebody help me out? Clay, Brianna, that's what's so powerful, Clay. Man, it's crazy what God's done in your life, man. Wow, it's crazy. Jason, what God has done in your life. Regan, it's crazy what God's done in your life. Hannah Beth, it's crazy what God has done in your life. Woo! Wow. There are people around here today. When we come in places like this, it's really difficult for us to do this. Some of us, we're skeptical what's going on. Some of us are afraid, which is another rope. There's some of us here today are bound by our insecurities and our fears. Insecurity is a type of fear. Some of us are bound by depression and anxiety. But some of us are tied up by our fears. And one type of fear we have when we come into a worship service is worrying about what other people think about us. If I lift my hands, will they think I'm strange? Probably. Did they think Jesus was strange, Roy? Amen, my brother. They thought he was strange. Never a man ever spake like this man before. We've never seen it done this way before. Just because you haven't seen it done that way doesn't mean it's wrong. Possibility is all right. Amen. And it's awesome. And God wants you to be a part of it. Some of us can't praise God because we're tied up. Our hands are tied up. Some of us can't dance. When Jenny's up there on that keyboard encouraging people to dance, there's a few people just do a little shuffle every now and then. But you know what? Some of you are getting ready to get free so you can really worship God the way God calls you to worship. Listen, God ordained dance. He ordained praise. He ordained it in the mouth of His children, out of the mouth of His babes. God placed that there. Don't let the devil tell you and convince you all that stuff just belongs in the honky-tonk. That's the biggest lie the devil ever told. It started with God. He is the Lord of the dance. When you're dancing and praising, guess what? He's in the middle of us, dancing and praising and singing over us. Some of us are bound by pride. Pride. Come on, be honest with me. Be real with me. Has there ever been a time in your life that you worry about what people think about you? I'm going to tell you something. When you stand before the Lord, guess what? Your people won't be standing there next to you. I promise you. Just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord. You have this opportunity to praise Him. You have this opportunity to worship Him. You have this opportunity to serve Him with your hands. To work for Him in the vineyard. You have these powerful opportunities. But life, problems and circumstances and situations has tied your hands up. You're tied up. You're tied up. You're tied up. Some of you here today are tied up with anger and unforgiveness. You hold grudges. Let me get real. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. Jesus says, you can't be forgiven unless you're willing to forgive your brother. How can I forgive you? How can you ask me to forgive you if you won't forgive one another? There's some of you here today tied up with unforgiveness. When you see certain people, it runs all over you. Oh, let me tell you, you need some forgiveness. You need some freedom, friend. You need your hands untied so you can love people the way Jesus told you to love them. You don't resent people. You love people. Resent their ways, maybe. But love them. Love them. Love them. Some of you are tied up by anger. You got issues with anger. Anger. Your hands are tied up with anger. You're never in a good mood. Think of the week. How many times in a week you're in a good mood? Think of it. Do your graft. Starting this week, do your graft. Graft every day how many times a day you're angry. And then you've got to look at this problem. Why am I angry? Why are my hands tied up? Now, guess what? Hurt people. Hurt people. Getting real quiet. Hurt people. Hurt people. But guess what? Free people. Free people. Didn't you say that one time? Did I dream that? Did I dream that? Free people. Free people. And they say free people. Guess what? You're free. If you're in Christ, you're free. Not just free, but free indeed. Thank you, Ben. Hold them hands out. Free people. Free people. How can you free people if you're still bound? How can you free people if you're still addicted? How can you free people if you're still bound in hate and anger and unforgiveness and jealousy? How can you free people if you're not free yourself? Whom the Son sets free, you're free indeed. You're free indeed. You're free to praise Him. You're free to serve Him. You're free to live for Him. You're free to walk in the destiny God has planned for you. You're free. Some of you here today are bound by certain lifestyles of sin, addictive behavior. You didn't ask to be in that place right now, maybe in your life, but you're there. And in your heart, you know, Lord, there's something more. There's something great you've called me to do. And I truly want to do it. But Lord, please untie my hands so I can serve you, so I can live for you. Untie my heart. Wow. You know, it's not two things. This is not rocket science. Love God. Love people. And if you love God, guess what? The second one will fall in order. Don't try to figure them out. Listen, you're not a psychologist. Maybe you are in the real world. You're not a psychiatrist. God just called you to love people. He'll figure them out. He'll work them out. You just help free people. God has set you free so you can free other people. Do you believe that, Roman? Come up here, brother. Free people, free people. This guy's been there. Amen? Let's be real. You've been there, right? You've been there where you tried to, like, do both things. Your heart wanted to be about it. But that addictive behavior had you captured, had your hands tied. With your heart, you wanted to serve it, you wanted to live for it. But there was still a struggle, right, Roman? I'm not telling you anything that he's not told you already. Let me tell you. But you know what he told me one day? He said, Pastor R., he said, I just didn't knock the giant down. I cut his head off. I cut his head off. I cut his head off. I cut his head. I don't need that stuff. I don't need that stuff. You don't need that stuff. What you need is Jesus. Thank you, Roman. I hope I didn't embarrass you. Untie my hands. And so, ending on this, are you with me for just another minute here? Say, I'm with you, Pastor R. I'm worried about some of you. We've got work to do. This ministry's been called to do a work. And we can't do that work as long as you're tied up. God's called us to do a great and mighty work. And it's going to take free people. It's going to take people who are free in their heart. And if your heart is free, you're going to see what God wants you to see. And when he freed Samson and those ropes came loose, Roy, look what happened. The first thing he saw was a fresh jawbone of a donkey laying on the desert floor. He saw a fresh jawbone of a donkey laying there. Listen, the word was fresh. It was new. Had never been done before. Guess what? God called you to do a work that nobody else can do, that nobody else has done before you. Amen. He's got a new thing he wants to do in you. But he can't use you until he looses you. Some of you just coasting along the river. And you need freedom so you can walk in the powerful plan of God. So he showed him this jawbone. Doesn't sound like a weapon, does it? Sounds like a small thing, insignificant thing. God has taken the foolish things of the earth to confound those that are wise. That Jesus, 2 Corinthians says, that the glory will go to Jesus and not to us. If any man does something, he'll do it in the Lord. He won't do it in himself. I can do nothing without him. I'm humbled this morning that I get this opportunity to do what I'm doing. I don't take it for granted. I fear and reverence, reverently speaking, I fear and reverence the Lord because I know today that he has a plan and purpose. And it's not always been easy pursuing that. But I know today, and all of us were honest here today, I still struggle sometimes with tied hands. Well, somebody get real with me here today. What I want to know today, is there any real people here that struggle with your hands tied? God's called you to freedom, but you know that God wants to do something in you. But how can you do it with your hands tied? How can you love and serve the Lord with all your heart with your hands tied? Some of you today, your finances are tied. You're strapped in your finances. Some of you need to think about God's way of finances. And if you're loving the Lord and serving the Lord says it all belongs to me anyway. How long is it going to take you to figure out that everything you have belongs to me? That's what the Lord's saying. I learned that a long time ago. There's nothing that I have that God didn't give it to me. From my children to everything that little humble house that I live in, this awesome, gorgeous, rock awesome wife of mine, God gave me. I didn't deserve her. Josh, you didn't deserve her. Grant, you didn't deserve. Roman, you didn't deserve. Roy, you didn't deserve. Jackie, listen, you didn't deserve her. But God was merciful and good to us. Today, think about this. God says, I want to use you, but I first got to lose you. And everyone here in this room right now, before this mighty God, your heart's cry should be, Lord, untie my hands so I can serve you with all my heart. All my heart. So I can dance before you with all my heart. So I can do drama for you with all my heart. So I can preach with all my heart. So I can serve you. So I can do ministry in the streets with all my heart, Lord. I want to do that. So he took that jawbone of a donkey and he slayed 1,000. God's going to take that gift that he's given to you and he's going to do incredible, awesome things with that. Brother, I feel like God has a call on your life. And I'm not telling you anything new. I think we've had that conversation before. I think your whole family's been called to do a great and mighty thing for the Lord. Amen. And when we realize that, Roy, you got a call on your life, brother. You got a call on your life. God's hands upon you. You say, Pastor, oh, why would he call me? Because he loves you. And he's got something he wants to do in you that he can't do in anybody else. Amen. Don't they call you the mayor of Norton? How many knows a mayor's got great influence? You're going to reach people in Norton that Pastor R can't even dream about reaching. You know why? Because when people talk to me, they say, Roy's the real deal. I know he's made mistakes. I know he's messed up before, but he's the real deal. When people tell you that, listen, friend, that tells you something. God has a purpose and destiny for your life. Amen. Untie my hands, Lord. Untie my hands. There's at least 6,000 people or more here that God ministered to today that said he wants to untie your hands. And some of you here today already figured it out. You already got it figured out. Guess what? Your hands are tied tighter than anybody else. I promise you, they are. They're tied up tighter than anybody else's in here. If you got it all figured out, guess what? You're tied up. So tight you can't even move. But God's going to free you today. He's going to free you today. Did you open your heart? In the prison the other night, first time I'd ever done this, there was some gang work going on in the prison there the other night in the service. And just so happened, the chaplain and I, 2 hours before that, had that conversation. I had to go and look at those men and take authority over that, the gang leader and the other people, and says, you got to listen to what God's going to say to you now. I need you to listen to what God's saying. They went. I wasn't mean. I wasn't disrespectful. I loved them in it. But I'm saying tonight, friend, look at your clock. It's later than you think it is. And it's time for us to get our hands untied so we can really do the work that God has really called us to do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If you're here today, bow your heads. If you're here today and your hands are tied, you know Jesus. I don't doubt that. I don't question that. But you need more freedom in your life. You need your hands untied. You need your heart untied. You got issues that's tied you up. And if that's you, I want you to be honest today. I want you to be honest. Be honest. Be honest. Say, Pastor Orr, God has really spoken to my life about things that have tied me up. Things that have tied me up. That I want to be free. I want to live and walk in the purpose and plan of God. But I've let things tie me up. I've let people. I've let circumstances. I've let my past. I've let fears. I've let doubt and unbelief. I've let unforgiveness. I've let anger. I've let, you know, it may not be anybody you're mad about in the church. Maybe it's somebody you're mad at in your past. Maybe it's somebody, listen, your family, whatever. But it's not worth it. Whatever it is that has tied your hands, I want you to be honest with me. Slip your hand up with me. Say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I'm going to be real and I'm going to be honest, Pastor Orr. Thank you for being honest and real. I believe so many of you here today. There's others here today that I know God is challenging your heart to lift your hand. That's part of being free, guys, is making that first step toward your freedom. If your hands are tied, reach both of them to Him right now. If they're both tied, because God's getting ready to untie them right now. The Lord's getting ready to free you and loose you today in Jesus' name. If that's you, just leave your hand lifted up for me if you could. If you raise your hand, just leave it right there. You're going to start feeling freedom you've never felt before. Anybody else, just slip your hand up with mine. Be honest. Be honest. I've been honest with you today. I've tried to be transparent with you. I need you to be honest with me. I don't care how long you've been serving God. I don't care how long you've been living for Jesus. I don't care how long you've been going to church, doing the church thing. I don't care how long you've been doing that. But there are people here today that are bound. Your hands are tied. And you truly can't really do the thing that God has purposed and planned for your life. Thank you for raising your hands. Anyone else all over this building, keep your hands raised. Going to be real quick. If you get tired raising that hand, raise the other. Just lift your hand up right now. God's getting ready to untie some people's hands. I believe that. I believe that. In the name of the Lord, I believe that. I believe that, Betty. God's getting ready to untie some people's hands so they can really work. Amen. The work God's called them to do. Anybody else, slip your hand up. What I'm going to do today, I want you to be honest. And I'd like for you to respond. That's a powerful part of your freedom today, is responding. And that's being honest. It took a lot of courage, guys, to raise your hand and say, God, I've let things tie me up. Be honest, folks. Be honest. Be honest. I've let things tie me up. But today, I want a new freedom. I want to walk in this new thing that God's purposed for me. I want to be used by God. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. If you raise your hand, when I say this one number, I want us to say this one number. I want everybody to be bold and courageous, and I want you to come all together when we stand. When I say the number three, we're going to all stand together. And I don't want you to sit there. I don't want you to sit there and let the enemy talk you out of it. I don't want you to sit there and say, I can't do that. No, you can't in yourself, but God will help you do it. He'll give you the courage. He'll give you the strength to make that step for Him, just like He gave Samson the strength to fight that battle. Three. I want everybody to stand their feet. Come, that raise their hands right now. Lord, untie my hands. Untie my hands. Come on, right now. Come on, right now. Right now. Come on. Right now. Come on. Come on, right now. Somebody will get out of your way. Just say, excuse me. They'll get out of your way. Come right now. Hallelujah. Come right now. Come right now. Come on. Come on, right now. Untie my hands, Lord. Untie my hands. Thank you, Lord. Untie my hands. Come on. There's room at the altar. Just come spread out all around this altar right now. Lord, untie my hands. Untie my hands from fear, Lord. Untie my hands from fear right now. You'll never have an opportunity like this. God's calling. Come. The Spirit says come. He that's thirsty, let him come. Hallelujah. Somebody pray. Yes.
Break every chain. Break every chain.
Oh, thank you, Lord. This young baby right here wants to be baptized today. Yes.
There is power.
Come up here and pray with him, Melody Henry.
In the name of Jesus.
Come out. Come out.
Oh, there is power.
Come out right now.
In the name
untie my
Jesus.
Hands. Untie my hands. Untie my heart.